Well, good morning. Welcome to KCC Online, and we're going to be thinking from 1 Peter 5 today. It's our last one in the series, as we've been thinking about There Is Hope, and it's so good of you to have joined us. If you've missed some of them, go back, check them out on YouTube too. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together. We recognize that your word is powerful. It speaks to the very core of our being. And so we pray now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, enabling us to hear and see what your word has to say, and that it would transform us. And so we pray, come now, as we wait on you, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be thinking this morning from 1 Peter 5, and we're thinking specifically about how does hope help us live in humility? How does hope help us live in humility? You might wonder what that means. We're going to unpack that this morning as we go through the text, particularly looking at verses 1 to 11. And as we think that through, I want to pull out three key areas from the text for us to see this morning. I want us to see firstly that humble servant leadership is something that we can have and aspire to as we look at verses 1 to 4. We can also see in the text about humble servant discipleship. What does that look like? We're going to be unpacking that as well. And the third area that I want us to think about is humble servant soldiers. Now that might seem a strange image to some of us, or maybe all of us, but we're going to see that in the text. And I'll explain what I mean by that in verses 8 to 11. So if you've got a Bible, if you've got a phone, a smartphone or a tablet, and you want to track with me in your Bible, that's great. It's going to be up on the screen as well, but it's good sometimes to get a paper and pen out and to track what's happening in the passage. We're coming towards the end of 1 Peter now. And in thinking about humble servant leadership to begin with, we read in verse 1, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. So Peter is an elder of the church. And in the original Greek, that can mean pastor or bishop. It's differing understandings of what an elder means. But it's really an overseer of the church. And so in KCC, we have elders and pastors, and we have elders who oversee the spiritual direction of the church. And as pastors, we are carrying that out, and we're teaching, and we're caring for the flock. But there's an overseeing by the elders. This is what it means. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. So Peter is an elder talking to the elders and a witness of Christ's suffering. So he's an actual witness of Christ's suffering, the pain and the suffering that Christ went through on the cross, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. So what we have in 1 Peter is a picture, as we have been seeing, what it means to be born again, what it means to have living hope, what it means to suffer, to live for Christ. But it's not just about knowing about that. It's not just about an elder who knows about that communicating to others that might know about that. That there is a richness to what Peter is talking about. You see, what happens in terms of the gospel is that we are invited in to understand this, but to actually experience this by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that it's a bit like a postcard or a calendar. So here I have this picture here of Edinburgh, and there's the camera obscura. It's on the top of the Royal Mile. Now, if you are watching this and you've never been to Edinburgh, it just looks like a picture, and I can tell you about this. But if you've actually been there, you've experienced it. It's not just a picture that you hope to engage with on one level, that you might have actually experienced what it's like to go there. And so what we are being shown in the whole of 1 Peter is that this is what it is to understand the gospel. This is what it is to live it out. And this is the hope that we have that we can experience now, but fully experience in glory with Christ forever and eternity. And so I want to really get that across this morning, that maybe we have gone through a time in our life, or we're going through a time in our life, and we just simply know it, but we're not seeing the big picture of the glory to come that has been revealed in Christ, in his sufferings, and in the glory to be revealed. And so it takes us to position ourselves to see that as we think about Christ on the cross and his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and Christ coming back again. But we also read in verse 2 that humble servant leadership looks like something. That we are told to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. This is elders, pastors, to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. So the picture that we have of leadership in church is to be that of a shepherd. And that's important to understand the original context, because a shepherd, like in the picture behind me, in the Middle Eastern context, was somebody who walked ahead of the sheep and the sheep followed the shepherd. Not like often in programs here where we see shepherds or out in the country here blowing a whistle, a dog chasing up behind the sheep, rounding them up. But the shepherd led from the front, and the sheep knew the shepherd and they knew the shepherd's voice. And so leaders such as I and the other elders and in other churches are to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, our care, watching over them. Not because you must, not because it's some dutiful thing, but because you're willing. And as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. And so there is a desire to want to lead, not because it's some sort of power, overarching, lording thing, like people are on a power trip, but because we want to bless you and serve you and care for you and feed the sheep and care for the sheep. Now, we don't always get that right. We're not perfect. In fact, I've quoted to you from a book, The Imperfect Pastor, before, and I've actually admitted that we don't always get this right, but our desire is that we will care for you, watch over you, will lead you into truth, lead you from the front. And there is a serving heart towards you. And I'm so grateful that we are in a church of elders, of pastors, where there is a willingness to serve and a heart for you as people of God, a willingness to care for you, a willingness to watch over you, and a sense of unity in the gospel towards that. And so that comes from humbling ourselves and wanting to be servant leaders that lead from the front, but for your care. But we also read in verses 3 and 4, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So it's not a case of leadership that says, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and that just lord power over you and never get involved in actually doing what I preach. But actually, there is an entrustment of the sheep to pastors and elders, and that we are to be examples to you as the flock. Not to say that we're better than others, but that we're to lead as the shepherd does and lead from the front. And so pray for us as we take that responsibility given to us from God, which is not always easy, and sometimes is a hard level of burden and responsibility to bear. pray for us that we will be given much wisdom and that we can serve you well and love you well. And when the chief shepherd appears, there will be a receiving of the crown of glory that will never fade away, so that there is that encounter with Jesus forever, that reward that is found in Christ, the crown of glory. And so we're to be humble as leaders. But we're also to be humble servant disciples. So in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. So firstly, what I want to talk about is young people and then all of us together. So there's an incredible pressure on young people nowadays. And so we recognize that that is the case. And to live distinctively as a young person is difficult. But we have got so many great young people in KCC. Many of you I've known since you were a baby or a toddler. And it's so encouraging to see how you're going on and growing in your faith. It's so encouraging to see how you want to serve. It's so encouraging to see the way that you are growing as part of the KCC body. We're so grateful to Pip, who's come as a youth pastor and is serving you and wants to see you grow too. And we've got lots to give thanks for with our young people. We are so blessed. But we mustn't become complacent as young people in our faith. That we're told in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, so that we don't grow a rebellious heart towards authority, but that we want to pray for leaders, we want to bless leaders, we want to serve. And so we don't turn away from that and just say, well, I'm just going to do my own thing because I think I know more than others. I worked with university students for 9 years around the UK and around parts of the world. And it was so encouraging to see so many enthusiastic students growing in their faith, getting involved in mission on campus, getting involved in mission around the world. But for some of those students, there was a kind of busyness about what they were doing. It was about projects and being busy for Jesus. And sadly, what was lacking in some of these young people, the minority, was character and growth being shaped and moulded. There was a sort of, I'm just going to do my own thing here. I'm doing stuff, but we're just kind of, we know best. Or there was a diversion from the truth that they were proclaiming to others. So many a time, spending time praying with students who had messed up over a summer, who'd got into a wrong relationship, who had got involved in getting in the wrong crowd and doing their own thing and moving away from the truth of the gospel. Some who were involved as student presidents who just, or on the exec of a CU, who just turned their back on God. It was all busy and enthusiastic in the student days, but then just went off and did their own thing. And so what I'm trying to get at here is this, is that the life that we live is a marathon. And so as a young person, pace yourself and submit to the elders, pastors of the church, because we love and want to care for you, and continue to do that as we pray for you, and continue to do that through the rest of your life. Learn what it is to humble yourself in prayer and be a servant disciple. But all of us also have this challenge. We're to be humble servant disciples. We're told, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So all of you, including me, all of us as disciples, clothe yourself with humility. So just as we choose clothes or a jacket, imagine you're going out of the door and you're going to choose a jacket to wear in the middle of winter. It's going to be a heavy coat. It's going to keep you warm. in the summer, a light coat that maybe keeps off a rain shower in Scotland. We also can clothe ourselves with the right things or the wrong things. And so we're to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. So we can be in a situation where we're going to come into a meeting, or we're going to come to church, or we're going to meet people, or go to work, and we can be putting on proud clothes. I know best. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show her. Or we can put on and clothe ourselves with humility towards one another, that I'm going to prefer you, that I'm going to love you, that I am going to humble myself prayerfully before God and be humble towards one another, be humble towards you, and you be humble towards me and towards other people. And that we take that attitude and clothe ourselves with humility. And the reason we should do that is because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. We see that throughout Scripture. So many leaders were humble and were not saying that I am the man or I am the woman. We see that Moses did not want to go and speak to Pharaoh, and prayerfully in his weakness went before Pharaoh and led God's people. We see that Joseph in a prison cell, who would have imagined that he would have gone on to become prime minister, or Noah, or all the other characters, even Peter himself, who messed up, that we're reading about here, humbled themselves knowing that they'd messed up, that they were weak, and that they were dependent upon God, and that they couldn't do what they had to do in their own strength. And I have to learn that time and time again, that throughout the week before preaching a sermon, I often feel weak, often feel there's a battle, often feel that, how can I get this together? But in prayer, as I kneel, as I humble, as I seek God, I'm looking for his favor. I'm looking for him to come through and to speak and to minister to us. God shows favor to the humble. And so if we think we've got it all together, if we think that we know it all, watch out. But if we humble ourselves, he shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up, or in other verses, exalt you in due time. That's the way we progress. Not that I'm going to do all this stuff and everyone's going to love me, but actually that we humble ourselves, and in time he lifts us up for his glory and for his fame. But then we read this verse 7, which is a famous verse, which almost sort of jumps out in terms of, we're hearing a lot about humility, but in verse 7 this just jumps out: cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What does this mean? Well, as I was thinking about this week, I thought, what does it not say? It's not saying cast some of your anxiety on him and hold on to other anxieties yourself, or deal with other anxieties in another way. And it's not saying that you won't have anxieties. I have anxieties. You have anxieties. We live in a very uncertain age where many of us, to varying degrees, are struggling with differing anxieties. But what it's saying, as we humble ourselves, as we recognize ourselves before God, is that we cast all our anxiety on him, that we bring our anxieties to him because he cares for us. And so that we can approach Jesus with our anxieties, and he wants to hear about our troubles and our burdens and our worries, and he wants to listen to them. It doesn't say that we won't have anxieties, but it's saying cast all your anxiety on him. It's not a case of, well, I'll just do that once and that's it. Well, that's over and now I'll have an easy life. That could be day by day. It could be hour by hour. It could be every 5 minutes. A reminder in the way that we humble ourselves, that we cast our anxiety on him because he cares for us. Jesus cares for us and wants to know our troubles and wants to meet us in our troubles. But we're also to think about being humble servant soldiers. We read, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Be alert and of sober mind. We are in a battle, a spiritual battle. And with that regard, we are seeing those who are putting our faith and trust in Jesus as soldiers. If we're in a battle, we are on one side of the battle. And we are on God's side, but there's also an enemy. Some of you may have seen the film 1917. It's a great film. And if you haven't seen it, it would be great to watch it. If you're not particularly into wartime movies, then okay, give it a swerve. But the narrative of it is interesting in the light of the gospel. You see, it's about these two soldiers that have been asked to go into the enemy lines, across enemy territories, in order to reach another troop to tell them that they are being led into a trap. And so in order to save thousands of lives, these two young soldiers have to risk their own life by going into the enemy territory in order that so many others might be saved. I won't tell you the ending if you want to watch it. But the premise is that people would lay down their life in order that others might be saved. And so we are in a spiritual battle where we need to be alert and sober-minded, awake to what is going on, where the enemy prowls around. We mustn't deceive ourselves and think somehow that we're on a holiday, a permanent holiday. We are in a spiritual battle, and the enemy is looking for someone to devour. And we are to resist him and stand firm in the faith. And in the original Greek, the standing firm means stereos, which is where we get the word stereo from. When you listen to music, it can be mono, just one sound, one speaker, or it can be stereo, it can be wide sound, and you can hear it in unison, one side of each other. There's a unison between these speakers, there's stereo sound. And so he wants his people to resist the enemy, but to be stereo, to be together in sound, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers, this union with Christ, this stereo that is in your midst and in our midst in KCC, but also around the world, where we are in stereo sound with believers around the world who are suffering, some of whom are being persecuted, which we heard about last week through Colin. There is a stereo of sound that is about Jesus and for Jesus, in which in the battle we cry out his name. In the battle, there is a stereo sound that rises up to lift up the name of Jesus, that there is power in the blood of Jesus, that he has won the victory, that we stand on his side, that he is our captain, that we follow and are in the stereo sound of Christ, who himself suffered and will be with him forevermore. Isn't that amazing? That though it's hard, though there's battle, though there's trial, that we are on the Lord's side. We can be on the Lord's side. We can be humble servant soldiers if we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We don't need to be on the enemy's side. We can come over to be on the Lord's side. And if we are on the Lord's side, that we are alert and awake and sober, and we're standing firm and we're resisting the enemy, and we stand firm in faith together in stereo, in unison, supporting and encouraging and praying for one another. And lastly, in verses 10 and 11, we see the humble servant Saviour. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. So the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, the God of grace, his loving kindness, his loving affections for you, the one who has called you and me, will restore you. And he will restore you because he's so much greater than we can ever imagine, but that we get an insight into his affections and his glory for us, because we know that Jesus himself intercedes for us. He's not just a little bit interested in us. He's so aware of you and your circumstances right now that he is going before the Father and interceding on your behalf, knowing that you sin, knowing that you mess up, knowing that you have trials and suffering, and intercedes on your behalf to the Father. He so wants to restore you and me and make us strong that he is our advocate, that he stands with us in our defense, that he comes alongside us and he draws near to us by his Holy Spirit, that he wants us to dig deep into the depths of the treasures and the glory and the fragrance of Christ, and to not just have a understanding of Christ from afar, but to be on our knees and to humble ourselves before a humble servant Saviour. He wants us to desperately know him and depend upon him, that we might find life, that we might find eternal life. And so that is my desire for you as a shepherd, that we might know the good shepherd. That is my desire for my own life. And so as I pray for you and you pray for me and we pray for each other, might we enjoy the richness and the glories of Christ and his eternal glory, and him restoring us and strengthening us and making us steadfast, that we might one day be fully restored in glory forever and ever, and enjoy joining in worship with him forevermore. Isn't that a better picture than being full of ourselves, than being immature, than being proud, by trying to be in control of our own lives, fighting things in our own way? Isn't it far better to bow the knee to such a humble servant Saviour, such as Jesus, and enjoy the richness of his presence made known by the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you would help us to discover what it is to live in humility. And we thank you that you are so gracious and so kind with us. We thank you that you're so glorious and you want to draw near to us. And so I pray that we might be people who live for you. Help us as leaders to be humble in the way that we live and serve. Help us as disciples to live out the goodness of the gospel and share that with each other. Help us as we look to you as soldiers in a battle, that we know that we have a great captain. And help us to love and follow the Good Shepherd, who is our humble servant Saviour. Come, we pray by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much again. And if God has spoken to you, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email or a message. Let us know how God is speaking to you through this talk and maybe other talks. And we can follow that up. We have a prayer team as well that would love to pray for you. So let us know any prayer requests you've got too. God bless you.